I'm Michelle Martin, and you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. They say it takes a village to raise a child, but maybe you just need a few moms in your corner. We visit with a diverse group of parents each week for their common sense and savvy parenting advice. Today, we want to talk about that uber mom, Sarah Palin, mother of five, former vice presidential nominee, former governor of Alaska. She burst onto the national scene last fall like a blast from a hunting rifle. Her ticket's loss at the polls in the November election and her decision to resign her governor's office months earlier has done little to diminish her star power. Her new memoir, Going Rogue, An American Life, has already sold a million copies in just a month on the shelves. And when you ask people why they're lining up in the wee hours to meet her and get an autograph, many say the same thing. She's just like us. In a recent interview with Sean Hannity of Fox News, Palin herself says Going Rogue will provide her fans and her critics with any answers to any lingering questions about her life.
They need to start by reading my book and not believing the tabloidization or the lamestream media that wants to portray me as something that I am not, but read the book, my own words, and then judge me by that.
Well, today our panel of moms takes Palin up on her offer, and they join us now to talk about what they learned from America's most famous hockey mom. With us are our regular parenting guests, Maryland State Legislator Jolene Ivey, author and blogger Leslie Morgan Steiner, and guest mom Mary Kate Carey of U.S. News and World Report to talk about this. They're all here in our Washington, D.C. studio. Ladies, moms, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Michelle.
Yeah, great to be here.
Now, I'm going to mention that each of you has points of connection with Sarah Palin. That's one reason we brought you all together. Jolene, you are also an elected representative. You are a Maryland State Legislator. Of course, you're an out loud and proud Democrat. And a mother of five.
Indeed.
Like Sarah Palin. Leslie, you're more of an independent voter. You're a ticket splitter, a self-proclaimed ticket splitter, but you're also kind of a hockey mom. Your kids are very involved in sports. You have three, and you've also written extensively about the whole question of balancing work and family. And Mary Kate, you are a mom of two, a former speechwriter for the first President Bush, George H.W. Bush. You are, needless to say, a Republican. Mm-hmm. You're also a mom of two. So that's one reason we put you all together. So I just want to go around and ask each of you how you reacted to the book. Jolene, I know you're a Democrat, and I know she's not your favorite from a policy perspective, but in reading the book, did you come to understand what it is that people like about her?
I definitely did. But the hard thing for me, first of all, the experience of buying the book near my home. I was horrified that anyone would see me buying it. And I wanted to explain to the checker, like, well, you know, I don't really want to read this, but I just have to. But then I said, Jolene,
well, Amazon, you know.
Yeah,
it will come in a brown paper bag.
Didn't have time, but I do have an open mind. I said, I'm going to have an open mind. And then right away, she hits me in the face with the right to life issue. And that made me nuts. And it bothered me that she and I could have so many life experiences that are similar and at the end come out so differently on so many issues.
So that just, you find your differences on issues to be so profound and that there's nothing she could do. But you have pro-life friends. I mean, you have friends who don't agree with you on this issue.
She would be so much fun to hang out with and have a beer. I don't have a problem with that. I just have a problem reading her book and seeing it written out, how she comes to her viewpoints. It didn't make any sense to me.
Well, is it that you feel that she is intolerant of views other than hers? Is that why you found it? Or is it that you're intolerant of views other than yours?
Oh, that could be. But I just found it to be nonsensical that you could go on and on about how important it is for people to, you know, you have this very difficult decision to make. She had a very difficult decision to make with her last pregnancy, but she had a choice, and she clearly thought the choice through, and she chose to deliver the baby, which was great for her, and I've got no issue with her doing that. But why would she want to then take that choice away from other women?
And you're referring, just for those who don't know, the fact that her last child is special needs. And
right.
She has talked about the fact that she, however fleetingly, considered terminating the pregnancy and, of course, chose not to do so. And
right.
You find it just strange that you can say you can consider it, but you don't want anybody else to have that choice.
Exactly.
I hear you. Leslie, one of the reasons we were happy to call you is that during the campaign, you pointed out that you were very attracted to her as a candidate, despite the fact that you liked Obama also, but you really were excited about her joining the ticket. So tell me how you responded to the book.
And I would say that I still feel the same way about her. I disagree with her political ideology, her glorification of Ronald Reagan, her provincial focus on Alaska, and her apparent belief that what works in a state with fewer than a million people is going to work in the United States. But I've got to say, I can't help but still really like her. And I liked the book a lot. I like her feistiness, her independence, her belief in herself, her cheerleading of women. You know, in so many ways, although she doesn't call herself a feminist, I believe that she really is a feminist. I also, you know, the thing I identify with her the most is her passion about motherhood. She writes in the book that her life truly began when she became a mother. And I feel the same way about myself. She also, in the acknowledgments, when she's talking about her kids, she says just one simple sentence. She says, "I breathe you." And that is just exactly the way I feel about my own three kids. I have a lot of respect for her in that way, even though I so strongly disagree with some of her political views.
Mary Kate, what about you?
Well, as a speechwriter, over the years, I have been involved in similar political biographies and autobiographies. And one of the things I do regularly for people is read their books at the manuscript level. Does this make sense? Did you catch anything? And if you flip through, you know, the version I read here, I just feel like all I was doing was circling paragraphs and putting question marks next to them. And as the book went on, there were more and more inconsistencies and contradictions of herself.
Can you give us an example? And I just want to mention for those who are interested that Mary Kate will have a review of the book for the U.S. News and World Report website, where she regularly blogs and she also writes columns. So give us an example of where you felt that she kind of contradicted herself, not just in what she wrote about, but in the way she behaves.
One example is when Trigg is born. You know, the story during the campaign was that her water broke when she was in Texas at the end of the pregnancy. And then she got on a plane and flew back to Alaska and had Trigg in Alaska. So at the time, I remember thinking, well, I wasn't allowed to travel that close to my due date. And how did she do that? She doesn't say that her water broke. She says there was a strange sensation. After five kids, I'm thinking, she gets on the plane. She gets all the way to Wasilla. She has the baby. She says Todd's with her the whole time. And some of her children made it in time to the hospital. And 200 pages later, during the campaign, when this is getting questioned, her father comes out and her father says, "I know that Trigg is her baby because I was there, I saw him pop out." And I flip back 200 pages, which of course is a problem because there's no index, and flip through, find it, and I think she doesn't say her father was there. And so I'm not saying that the story's not true. I'm just saying she should have said within the two covers of the book, make it match, which is it. She knew expectations were very high. She knew there's a double standard for women, especially Republican women. She knew this was going to get fact-checked by the press, and yet she didn't take the time to double-check that kind of stuff. Clearly, she had a team of people helping her, and I think the team kind of let her down, you know?
And Leslie?
I happen to agree with that, and I have another example of some kind of hypocrisy or contradiction that I saw as really hurting women who believe in her, and all women, really. During the vice presidential campaign, she or some people in the McCain campaign were very careful to stress over and over again that even though she had five children and she was a working mom, she never used any babysitters, which made me feel so terrible because I know you can't work without childcare. It's just a fundamental tenet of working motherhood. And we're always made to feel bad about sending our kids to daycare or hiring too many babysitters or whatever. But then yet in her book, in the acknowledgments, she thanked nine different paid babysitters. And I thought, you know, it's a kind of sloppiness that and disrespect, as much as she tries to be so sensitive to moms and to working moms, I feel like she can't hold herself up as this super mom who can run a state government without any childcare and then thank the babysitters. It's just, it's not fair and it's not right to other working
moms. You
know,
I have to tell you, I noticed that too, because one of the things that fascinates me, I always want to know, how do you do it? Whoever you are, how do you do it? Jolene, I want to know, how do you do it? I know with two little ones at home, I'm thinking, oh man. And then you're an elected legislator too, who has to campaign. And then when you're in the middle of session, it's 24/7. And I appreciate it when women tell the truth of their lives. Like when I have, you know, interns, for example, and I take them out to lunch and I say to them, ask me anything. Because I think women need to tell the truth to each other. And one of the things that I'm fascinated by is how come we can't know this? What's so terrible? What's up with that? Jolene, you wanted to say something?
Well, the thing that I was noticing, she was very careful at the beginning when she told the story of her relationship with her husband that They got married late in the summer without a date, whereas everything else had a date. And then about, 8 months later, she gave birth to her first son on April 20th. So later in the book, it talked about how the exact date, they said it was on
August 29th.
August 29th. So she got married on August 29th, 1988, and she gave birth on April 20th, 1989. That is not 9 months, and she didn't say it was early. Now, I am not judgmental about it. It's just that given who she is, I was kind of surprised that she wouldn't at least own up at the beginning or make some explanation or leave it out. And part of the reason I was paying attention is she was married very close to the same time my husband and I got married. We got married on September the 3rd. 1988, and our first baby was born just over a year later. So when she said that her first baby was born that next year, I said, oh, that's interesting. I wonder if they have the same birthday.
So you weren't hunting for destruction.
It's
because of that, again, that odd sort of coincidence with your own life.
Exactly.
You were interested. And I have to say that political memoirs, as a rule, are not that forthcoming. I mean, those of you who've read Hillary Clinton's memoir, mm-hmm. looking for the details on why she's made some of the life choices that she's made, will be disappointed. But there are other political memoirs. I'm thinking of, for example, the president of Liberia, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, very forthcoming about some of the choices she made earlier in her life. Nobel laureate Wangari Maathai, for example. And some people in their countries, home countries, have criticized them for being as candid as they were. But I have asked each of them about that. I say, why were you as forthcoming as you were? For example, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, President Sirleaf, has mentioned that her ex-husband was abusive to her. And she said she felt it was important for younger women, particularly those who are interested in public life, to understand what you can overcome and still have a public life. So I just want to point out there are lots of ways to approach this question. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with Jolene Ivey, Leslie Morgan Steiner, and Mary Kate Carey about Sarah Palin's memoir, Going Rogue, An American Life. The moms are going rogue today. Mary Kate, I wanted to ask you about what you said earlier about how you say there's a double standard for Republican women. Who's got that double standard? What do you mean by that?
I feel like the projects I've been involved with, the feeling amongst the women was they're going to be tougher on us than they would to other people.
And who's they?
The press, the sort of DC establishment, the book reviewers, whatever. And they're looking, you know, like we were just saying, were you looking for destruction? You know, were you going into this with a bad attitude? And so there is that subtext to this. And my take on it was, she had this golden opportunity to rise above that. And to, for example, when she talks about policy in here, I'd say it's 10 to 20% of the book is policy. And when she does talk about policy, it hits with a thud. Like, her voice is very easy as a speechwriter, I think, to pick up when she says, dang, have you seen Todd? And those kids were growing faster than a fireweed in July. You know, it kind of reminds me of Dan Rather. You know how Dan Rather talks like that? And so it's easy to find the parts where it's her. Well, then you get to the policy parts, and it just screeches to a halt. And I thought, oh, what a shame, because she could have put it out there. Here's where I think American politics are going, and here's my place on it. And she didn't. She let it screech to a halt.
So what's your bottom line on this book? I take it you don't think it's a very good book. You're disappointed that it could have been better. But what about, is it a net plus or net negative for her as a person who presumably has some interest in having a role in our national public discourse?
I feel like she made some choices here, and the choices say volumes about her as a political leader. And here I am, a Republican woman, wanting to like her. And instead, I feel like as the book goes on, her definition of us versus them becomes more and more prevalent. And really, when she talks about we, as the book goes on, we becomes narrower and narrower. And by the end, she sounds kind of very distrustful of the sort of the Republican establishment. And I think, now how are we going to get the party behind that? And so by the end, in the acknowledgments, at the very end of the acknowledgments, I found this little buried paragraph where she does this sort of shout out to the fair and balanced media. And she says, keep those idiots' heads spinning. And then it goes and thanks people by their first names only. And it was almost like secret code. It took me a minute, I had to read it. But she's saying, Anne, Laura, Glenn, Rush. When I hit Rush, that's when I went back and read the list. And I'm like, oh, Anne must be Ann Coulter. Laura must be Laura Ingraham. Lou must be Lou Dobbs, you know? And all of a sudden, it became clear to me. And I thought, she really has moved way over through this book. She could have been inclusive and a unifier, like you're saying, like what we were all hoping. And instead, she's urging people to go out to those tea parties and hit the town hall meetings and shout outs to the far right media. And I thought, that's not what I was looking for.
Hmm. Let's see, what about you? Bottom line?
You know, looking at it from more of a kind of average soccer mom perspective, I think the book is really effective. I think it's interesting. She's got an interesting voice and an interesting life. It's good reading. And I like her more now, having read the book. And I think that a lot of people who don't have the same understanding of kind of the media and political insider view, especially women, are going to respond to it. Because I think that women in general, we feel kind of on the outside of the political process. And I don't mind that she's angry and she's sort of poking all these people all the time, because I kind of identify with that piece of her. And I don't necessarily love identifying with her. She's constantly sort of whipsawing me with her ideology and then her personality. But I got to be candid here. I think that she's really likable in the book.
Hmm. Jolene, bottom line?
If she's free for a beer, I'd love to see her. I'd love to hang out, and I will never vote for her.
For
anything.
I have to say, as a woman of color, I kind of would have appreciated, obviously, there's Native Alaskans are part of the life, and you know, and she does give a shout out to that part of the culture. Her husband apparently is part Inuit or Eskimo, whatever term is preferred. But I would have preferred, this is a very diverse country now, and I would have appreciated some acknowledgement of that. But to be continued, right? To be continued.
Right. We haven't heard the last of her.
Jolene Ivey is a state delegate in Maryland. She is one of the co-founders of the Mocha Moms. That's a support group for stay-at-home moms, particularly those of color. Leslie Morgensteiner is the author of Mommy Wars and Crazy Love. Mary Kate Carey is a former speechwriter for President George H.W. Bush. She now writes columns and blogs for U.S. News and World Report. They were all here in our Washington, D.C. studios. Ladies, moms, thank you.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thanks, Michelle.
And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.